Listening Library presents Forged in Fire and Stars by Andrea Robertson. Read for you by Amy Shields. It is said that the conquest of Setland was bloodless. But there was blood. It came after the battles. It began to seep quietly through cracks and crevices in villages and towns and cities. Few understood what was happening. Those who did disappeared. Lavia, the Summoner, Chronicles of the Loresmith, Volume 1. Prologue. Clangs of steel on steel announced the arrival of the blacksmith's fate. Yo Steelring passed a borrowed quarterstaff from hand to hand, trying to grow accustomed to its weight and balance. It was a sorry replacement for his usual stave, having none of the life nor familiarity of that rare weapon. Nothing to be done about it. The Loresmith's stave, better known by its storied name, Iron Branch, could not be among the Vokin spoils, which meant Yoss's companion of so many years was far from the palace and his grip. Sounds of battle were closer now. Much closer. Worse than the ring and scrape of steel, were the screams followed by wet, guttural moans. Yoss knew that those who remained of the palace guard had attempted to barricade themselves behind broken furniture, blocking the path to the royal apartments. That pitiful bulwark must have fallen, leaving only Yoss between the soldiers and their prize. Despite his determination to hold his post, Yoss couldn't keep fear-born doubt from wriggling into his thoughts. Is there honor in laying down one's life for a king who brought his people to ruin? Yoss ground his teeth at the question. Too many times he'd thought of what his life might have been outside of the palace and the city of Five Rivers. The Loresmith hadn't always served in court. Generations ago, the Loresmith roamed the provinces of Setland, offering aid where it was needed, and joining the Lore Knights in times of trouble. Together, smith and warriors had quelled threats, thwarted invasions, and crushed enemies of the kingdom. Yoss shook his head, pinpointing the moment in history when it had all fallen apart. The moment that King Nirin made the fateful declaration centuries ago. Lore Knights would no longer be chosen from among the people of each province, but would instead be appointed by the monarch and take their place at the royal court. With that decree, Nirin had riddled the foundation of Setland's defenses with cracks. Those cracks had widened over the years, becoming fissures and faults. Today, the walls had crumbled. Yoss was close to sinking into despair. He reminded himself it wasn't the current fool of a king, Dentroth, behind the door over which he stood watch. The royal twin toddlers were innocent and deserved his protection. If all had gone as planned, they were no longer in the nursery at Yoss's back. They should be miles from the city in care of their guardians. Their destination, Port Pilgrim, a ship and obscurity. The little princess and prince would be exiles, but they would be safe. Yoss continued to guard the room he hoped was now empty. Every minute he defended the door was another minute bought for the twins' escape. He had prayed for their safety, but most of his pleas to the gods begged for the salvation of an unborn child and its mother. A tear rolled down Yoss's cheek as he thought of his wife, Lyra. It had been 5 years since they'd first met, but the memory of that day was so clear he felt like he could step into it. He had been in the market district, on his way to the tanners. The time had come to retire his smithing apron, and he wanted an exact recreation of the garment that had served him so well. Yoss had been to the tanners before, but he took a wrong turn and found himself on a street he didn't recognize. "Are you lost, blacksmith?" A young woman was watching him from a few feet away. She had pale pink skin and sable hair that fell down her back in a single long plait.
"I don't think I've ever been on this street," Yoss admitted.
That's your loss, she said, walking toward him. The finest weaver in Setland has a shop on this street. He could see now that her eyes were lavender gray, a shade he'd never seen before.
Your shop, I assume?
She tisked. My mother's shop, Elka Silverthread. She creates exceptional fabrics. You could ask any of the ladies at court and they would tell you all their dresses are made at Silverthread Fabrics.
Why do you think I'd know the ladies at court?
Yose's face clouded. He wasn't dressed for court. He'd come straight from his workshop, and his clothing showed it. Buds of blush appeared in the woman's cheeks. I know who you are, Yose Steelring. My father is a blacksmith, and a great admirer of your craft. He has pointed you out to me many times, and speaks of your generosity in sharing your knowledge with the guild, despite the king's disapproval.
My thanks to your father for his kind words, Yose said, feeling his own cheeks redden.
He cleared his throat.
As you already have my name, may I ask yours?
I'm Lyra, she told him. Lyra Silverthread.
Lyra.
For some reason, Yose could say nothing but her name. An awkward quiet stretched between them as he tried to remember how to speak. He couldn't stop staring at her, and he was horrified by his uncouth behavior.
Tanner,
he blurted.
Lyra looked startled, and Yose hurried to say, I was on my way to the tanner.
Ah, she nodded. Her lips quirked as she returned his gaze. Come to the shop first, Lyra coaxed. We will find the most beautiful scarf for your beloved.
Yose was startled to find himself blushing again. I don't have a beloved.
She smiled at him then, and Yose knew his heart would belong to no one else. That first meeting led to a second, a third, and before Yose knew what was happening, he found himself deeply in love. He wanted to marry her, but to do so would likely put them both at risk, Lyra particularly. For years, King Dentroth had been suggesting, loudly and often, that Yose should marry. The king had taken to ushering various highborn ladies into Yose's company. He knew Dentroth was serious. Yose's parents' marriage had been arranged by the previous king. He believed King Dentroth would not go so far as to force him to marry, but he had no doubt the king would be furious if he married into a merchant family after rejecting the royal preferences. Despite the risk, Yose and Lyra did marry, in secret, in the old way, at a shrine of Narva. They kept their marriage hidden from all but Lyra's parents. Even if the king had welcomed Lyra to court and given their union his blessing, Yose knew Dentroth would lay claim to any child of the Lorsmith. The line was hereditary. Neither Lyra nor Yose was willing to hand their child's fate over to the ruler of Setland. Lyra was 6 months pregnant with their first child when word of the Vokin landings at Defrit and Keldon reached the palace. Panic gripped the city. Given the state of Setland's army and the size of the invading forces, Yose knew the enemy would reach Five Rivers within a week. Though he longed to flee the city with his wife, he couldn't bear the dishonor of forswearing his oaths. For 3 days, Yose and Lyra had planned, debated, fought, and held each other until they came to an agreement. Those had been the worst 3 days of Yose's life. The Vokin warriors appeared from the side corridor. They were laughing, clapping one another on the shoulder, smiling. Yose saw splashes of red on their lips and teeth. Servants of the Devourer. He imagined the royal toddlers mangled and bloody. He needed to give the guardians more time. With a ragged war cry, Yose made the second hardest choice of his life. He charged at the blood-soaked soldiers. Having waded through so many blades and bodies to reach this corridor, the Vokins were taken aback by this lone man's wild attack. Surely a person outnumbered 10 to 1 would surrender rather than fight. Their brief hesitation gave Yose the few seconds he required to sweep his quarterstaff through the first 3 soldiers, cracking skulls. He took some satisfaction in watching them crumple. Then,
as he expected.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?